Random Podcast with Raffi and Sandra.
Welcome back to the very delayed episode of the Random Podcast. Hooray! Can you hear it? There we go. Nothing?
Nope.
Nothing. Oh my god.
There we go.
Hey.
Just like our episode, the cheer was delayed. So this is our seventh episode for this season, which is a little bit behind since it's like nearly halfway through the year. It's been an interesting challenge trying to actually schedule this in.
It has been.
Given that it's been so long since our last catch-up episode, we're just going to start with another catch-up episode. So let's begin with how are you? So Chandra, how are you?
As bit has happened now. So I'm settling into the floating boat life kind of situation. So if you've just tuned in, I've now moved onto a boat and that's my new home. So I live on that.
But you haven't been attacked by orcas yet. So has enough happened?
No, I dodged them. If you want to hear more about them, listen, tune into the last episode. I'm now well past the orcas. I'm now in the Mediterranean, where if there was an orca, it would be like on a barbecue somewhere being barbecued. There's not a lot of fish left here.
So what's the Mediterranean like?
It's nice. I'm in the Baleares Islands, which before I was like, oh yeah, I'm in the Balearics, going to Ibiza. I've been told that's not how you pronounce it. It's Ibiza and the Baleares Islands.
No. Mate, you got to do it properly, all right?
Yeah.
I'm going to sleep on the Barbie.
Yeah, well, somebody was very confused when I kept telling them, yeah, I'm going to Ibiza. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, Ibiza. And they're like, what? Anyway. So right now, there's basically three little islands there. There's actually four little islands. So there's the Ibiza Islands, which is, I guess, you know, famous. There's a little island south of that, which is where I was before. And now I'm at the big island, which is Mallorca. And I got one more island to go. And the nice thing is I've sort of got I've worked out, like, with the boat thing, there's always things that are broken and there's always a jobs list of things that need to be sorted / to do. But there's the stuff that needs to be sorted fairly urgently and the stuff that fix it on the way. So.
Okay. So what's
an example? The last thing that I needed to get working was on a boat, you need to be able to make water, depending on how you use the boat. But
what do you mean? You're in an ocean.
Yeah, so some people go into marinas and, you know, they basically are parked up, and so then you just connect the hose and fill up the water. But my aim is to never go to one of those places and just stay on anchor. Much nicer, much quieter. But it means you got to be fully self-sufficient. So I think some people are a bit more economical with water, and I think some people use, like, maybe, you know, for two people, they use 30 to 50 liters of water a day. I probably use closer to like 80 to 100 liters for, you know,
in a day.
Two people, and then make it 100 to 150 liters for three people. Yeah.
The hell are you doing? Like having a spa party, even though you're on the ocean?
Well,
like,
the thing is now, so I've set up boat analytics, so I can actually see like a little graph of exactly what the water level's doing. It's interesting things, like, you know, sure, you're not surprising, like a shower, maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 liters, depending on how long people leave the water running. So you got to tell people, no, don't open the shower on full bore, that kind of thing. Washing
like
the dishes is an interesting one. Yeah, I know. I had to teach myself that. But washing the dishes, surprisingly, uses quite a bit of water.
Like as in the dishwasher, or like you're doing it manually?
Just by hand. Yeah. So some people have like a salt water wash as well, but the problem is salt water destroys everything. So if you can not have salt water on a boat, it's the best.
You're surrounded by salt water, destroying the boat.
Exactly. So aim of the game is to keep the salt water off the boat that lives in the salt water. So this morning, I just washed down the boat to get all the salt off it.
Like, what do you mean wash down the boat?
So
your
major problem was, right? So for example, my water maker, it's supposed to make about 120 to 150 liters an hour. For the same amount of energy, it was only making about 50 liters an hour. Now you're like, nah, well, just run it for 2 hours, she'll be right. Sort of. But the problem is, or 3 hours, then you use three times as much power. It's a noisy, annoying as hell thing. So now you're running this thing for 3 hours a day instead of 1 hour a day, and it becomes a big problem. You can survive, but it's quite annoying. So that's one of the things. Again, it's because the people that did the installation in France are a bit retarded, and so they connected something backwards. So once that was fixed, then it's fine.
Oh, so is it back to working normally now, or is it still...
Yeah, yeah. So now it makes about 120 litres an hour, which is about what I'd expect for this sort of water temperature and stuff. So it's fine. Run it for now. We're good. Or today, for example, doing the laundry, wash the boat. So probably run it for another 2 or 3 hours. Maybe run it 2 or 3 hours. It's heavy water you stay.
Okay. So considering the closest I have is a car, I'm imagining like you're like going, oh yeah, I'm just going to put it into the boat driveway and then get my sponge out and then I'm going to give it a scrub with that tub and then put it back. What the hell do you mean washing it down? What do you do?
So one of the problems is you get these strong winds off Africa, which is far away, and you think, who cares? Now, there's a lot of red dust.
Well, no, you're in the Mediterranean. In
So the red dust from Africa, from the top of Africa, whenever there's a wind that's coming that way from the south, blows all these little red dust into the air, and then it comes and creates a nice little layer that settles on your boat.
Yeah, protecting it from the salt. I don't see the problem.
So the great thing is then when you got slightly wet feet and you're walking around a surface which has just got dirt on it, now you've just got footprints and you're tracking dirt into the boat. And then the rest of the boat gets dirt.
Footprints of cleanliness.
Exactly. So, and the other thing that I'm essentially learning is it's about a part-time job maintaining a boat. I'd give it, 2 to 4 hours a day on average is probably what you'd budget for if you want to maintain your boat. Because some days it might be like, ah, great, clean the boat. Some days it might be clean the inside of the boat. Some days it might be, this thing is broken, let me fix this thing. So it takes a bit of time.
All right. So remember, you literally, the boat life didn't choose you. You chose the boat life.
Yeah. I've gone from having a cleaner come every week and, normally I just come home and the bed sheets are magically changed and the ironing's already done to going, how do I clean a bathroom? And also, wait, here's the kicker. With all the cleaning, so you can speak to different people about how to do the cleaning in different ways. And different people have different approaches. So some people who are like, ah, they're just on a boat, for a week. Yeah, they're just on it for a weekend or whatever every few months. And they'll probably only own the boat for maybe a couple of years or something like that. Then you just use the most efficient, harshest chemical / power washer and just like blast it because it'll be fine. Then you can speak to people who maintain super yachts. They're like, yeah, when you have a crew of 10, this is the best way to do it. I'm like, cool. and the full-time staff cleaning all the time. And then you've got the people who live on their boat full-time and they're like, oh no, clean it this way using this stuff. Because in a couple of years, if you do it this way, for example, if you use particularly harsh chemicals and stuff, you take all the wax off the boat. And so then it gets dirtier even faster.
Yeah, but someone else's problem, because you're going to have like the Leopard 57 or whatever.
I'll be on this for a while.
Nah. I mean, you say that now, but knowing you, you'll be like, what's the Lamborghini version?
No, because the thing is, this is also kind of like you settle into your boat and you tweak it and you set it up the way you want. So after a while, it's kind of like your apartment. You're like, if you get
your apartment, it could have you like.
But it'd be like, say, your 07 apartment and then going, are you really going to change apartment? Probably not.
well, yeah, true. I mean, there's going to be
once
a little bit.
Renovated to, once you've renovated to your perfect. Or personal taste, and anyway, people are like, well, people do change words often, and who knows what happens, but I was like, yeah, keep it nice from the start. But yeah, it's interesting how much boat life is essentially like project planning. I literally have like to-do lists of maintenance checklists or what to do in the morning and the evening. I have to plan crew rosters for people coming on off board, boat documents.
Again, I reiterate, You chose the boat dive.
No, I was just standing on the look. I was standing on the beach, and then I had a nap, and then I woke up on a boat. I think a boat kidnapped me.
Yeah, see, that's why I'm like, I'm glad you bought the boat, because I want to go on a boat, but I want it to be your boat. So I don't
have to... Yeah, well, that was the point before. I was like, somebody else's boat is the best boat. Because, again, yeah, even with like cleaning else. Or something, you're like, nah, it doesn't have to be that clean. I mean, you just stay on it for a week, off you go, she'll be right.
Yeah. I'll bring the steel wool when you want me to clean.
Where should
why
I
love
this?
One section that we assigned to Raffi is so dirty. Why is there no wax? It looked so clean when he left.
But it has been nice. Once I've got to these islands, I finally got to slow down. Because before that, I was pretty much just moving the boat every 1 or 2 days or trying to basically wait for a little weather window across, wait, across, and keep moving the boat. And so the problem is, because...
Your audio's gone all of a sudden. Oh, okay.
I don't know why. Unfortunately, the southern coast of Spain, there's not a lot of places to anchor out. It's more sort of a marina place, and it's a bit eh. So I kind of wanted to get to these group of islands, and now I can slow down, chill out. For the first time in like 3 weeks, I had like a little bit of a schedule, which was not fun, because there was a nice, there's a photo on Instagram, if you're following me, but there's a nice little sort of
Chandrasham.
We'll put that in the links. But yeah, what happens is if you're anchored out there, you have to make a reservation. It's booked out for like 20 days.
Is he gone?
So I made it there, but then you've got to leave at a fixed time as well. So then you have to sort of sail, not depending on what the wind is, but just what the day is. You got to get out and go. So then I had to move the boat for a couple of times a day. I'm like, so much work. So now I've got to this place. I'm like, great. And there's no wind for the next few days either. So I'm like, sitting here for a bit, but it's nice. For example, yesterday I got up early in the morning. There's a bus from here to the main city, took the folding bike and one of the other crew people rollerblades. So basically went there, cycled for like an hour and a half to the German bar that at 11 a.m. gives you a free beer.
Okay.
So, you know, as you do, it's free. So I went there, got the free beer, and I was like, great, and then explored the town a bit. So it's nice. Yesterday was kind of like the first day off. Sorry?
I think I can hear myself now from your speakers.
I know the issue. Let me fix this. Oh, no. Cannot be changed while recording.
Yeah.
Let me try again.
All right. Technical issues aside. We are on a boat, so...
And hopefully we're good again. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, yeah. I gotcha.
I can't hear myself any good.
Echo solved.
Wow, this is like boat problem solving, boat life. Come on, listeners. You're experiencing boat life firsthand.
Exactly. Doesn't it sound appealing?
So I updated the audio on, sorry, the software on the road mics. We now have a new soundboard. But the echo's back.
Yeah, it's decided it doesn't like my AirPod again.
All right. Well.
What about you? What's been happening?
What has been happening? This is very distracting. okay. How can I remotely turn this off?
There we go. Echoes off. Ta-da! Magic.
Okay. All right. So, in terms of me, we finally, as of we're recording this on a Sunday, last Saturday. So what? 7.5 days ago was the last sort of mental checklist item of finishing off the renovations for the apartment. So the integrated fridges, which I did not realize was this much extra work, have finally been installed. I no longer have building materials inside the apartment. So we're on to just, you know, up until this point, we've kind of had the place livable and clean and whatnot, but I didn't start putting away some of the stuff because there was just this huge pile of like wooden blocks and like flooring stuff, which we kind of needed for this last little bit. So because of that, I was like, ah, oh, look, I'll pack it up once it's all done. But now it's all done. So I'm like, oh, crap, now I got to actually start cleaning things and putting it away and finding a place for everything. But it's just nice. Like, already there's already little things popping up that I have to maintain. It's kind of like a boat, right? A house also has very similar issues. Apartments are probably far less issues than any of the others, but they do have little things coming up. So little things are popping up, but in my head, I've managed to tick off apartment reno's done. So it's just been nice walking around going, oh yeah, it's done. Like, I don't have to wait for someone to do this bit. Like, all the maintenance things, most of them I can do myself. Like, there's a piece of the, it's called Scotia, the little thing that runs over the floorboards. One part's coming apart, so I just got to put a nail in it. I've got like two photos to hang. So I've got like the hooks. I just got to make a level thing. And then I was hoping that we could use a different thermostat for the central heating, one that's like Google Home compatible, but supposedly the one that I found, I mean, I'm not an electrician, so I was like, look, this looks like it does most of it. And they're like, no, the biggest thing, it doesn't do. So we can't use it. So we had one in the last apartment.
The biggest thing, like, it doesn't connect to Apple? Is that the problem?
Well, it doesn't connect to any of them. That's the problem.
Oh, so you got a dumb switch, essentially.
Well, no.
So it's you like bought a light switch.
No, it's like, remember, you used it in the last apartment. It's like, you need an app, but you can't do it voice. And like you can, they're supposedly working on it, but it's not there yet. So yeah, it is what it is. And unfortunately, because it's a
part of it. Is it even a light switch if it's not voice controlled?
Well, this is true. Like, I've only got this light here and the one in front there. Those are the only two voice controlled ones in this apartment. So the rest of them are coming. But yeah, it's been good. So it's been also like I had this friend who kept on wanting to have a virtual tour. They live in Sydney. So I could finally, like, I've shown them the apartment before. They're like, no, I want to see it when it's done. Like, it's not that much left. So today I just videoed the whole thing and sent it. And he's like, wow. I'm like, I swear 90% of it is the same. I don't know if they'd never watched it going, oh, I don't want to see it until it's done. So it's nice being done. That's surprisingly a pretty, like, significant mental burden that I didn't think I had.
Yeah. I think I know the feeling, because like, otherwise it's, you're like, ah, there's still a bit more. Ah, there's still this. But even if there's little things left over, like if the major stuff is done, like, ah.
Yeah, well, tick. I mean, in my head, I thought that, you know, the panels were not really that major a thing. Like, the fridge was usable, the dishwasher was usable. So I'm like, ah, yeah, it's usable. But it's just, but I'm going to say, it's just so much nicer being able to open the fridge by just using handles instead of, like, there was these middle tabs of the blocks go onto. So we were kind of, you could open the fridge, the top doors, but the freezer, there's these two bolts that come out. So like little bolts, you have to unscrew them and then you put the panel on and you screw them down. But when you have no panel, I had to literally put my finger in onto the bolt and like pull out the freezer door. And that was a pain in the ass. So
I thought, not ideal when you're trying to get your ice cream.
Yeah, and then on the dishwasher, because when you put it's designed to have a panel on, like they're integrated, right? So if you didn't have a panel on, the front door was too light. So every time you open it, if you didn't have pressure on it, it would just like fling back up. So loading a dishwasher was this thing where you'd have to pull the bottom tray out and load enough plates on the first go so that it held it down so it could load the rest of it. So now, all those little problems that I, like, in my head, they weren't big problems anyway, but they're just sorted, and it's so much nicer. And it just actually feels like a new kitchen, even though, like, you've been using it for a while. Like, mentally, it's like, oh, it's that done.
Feels
it's
right.
Yeah. So it's been interesting after having moved in, like, 6 months later, then also going, oh.
Yeah, just finally I have a place.
And then also that side of the kitchen, just had so much building material. There's like a new walkway, a new space. It just feels empty now. So I'm like, oh, okay. So it's been nice. I didn't expect this little bit of thing. But the other part has been that actually been following through on my promise of clearing up my schedule and getting free time.
Hey, that deserves a clap.
Okay. Let me find the clap. Well, I've only got the cheers, so. Oop.
No, no clap.
I'll slow find it clap. One day.
Oh. There we go.
Oh, that's what's happened. So I changed it so that instead of, like, it used to be you press the button and it displays the whole thing. And I was like,
that would be the logical thing.
But yeah, so one of the things that's changed is I was holding off on doing too much changes to the schedule just because there was a few things that were coming up around this time of the year. So I didn't want to add too much change to the mix before I saw, like, where.
So you didn't go with the select all, delete all approach?
Well, I could have, but things were already going to be ending. I just didn't know the time frame.
Yeah,
okay. So I was like,
let them.
It gives us, yeah. So basically, one of the things that happened was one of my surgical lists that I've been doing for the longest time, it moved from one hospital in west of Melbourne to the southeast of Melbourne. But in the morning, I'm still at the west of Melbourne, so I can't magically teleport. And so I was like, look, if it finishes, then that's fine. I just can't, like, I'm not willing to do the, like, I just wouldn't be able to get there remotely on time, right? Mm-hmm. There's a long list and there's other people who can do it. So that cleared up two sessions. And the surgeon was like, oh, I still have cases to do there. I just want to do an all-day list on some other time. But the hospital just couldn't confirm whether they have a session or not. So we're kind of in limbo going, well, I'm not going to change things because I don't know when this is finishing and how do I switch my sessions. And it was just like a logistics nightmare. So I just left it alone going, look, anything I do is just probably going to create more work because we don't know where it's going to land. And as it stands right now, the sessions have moved, but there's no replacement sessions. And there's only two spots where I'm free in a month where I could do this potentially. So I don't know if I'm going to be continuing doing this list. I also work with a surgeon in the Southeast and other sessions. It's not like I'm not going to be working with him, but it's also meant that I could potentially have 2 half days a month, which is little, but
that sounds better. That sounds better.
Well, it just actually means that I got to switch around a few things anyway.
Just think that's 2 days, 2 half days. You could clean your boat.
Well, actually, it's going to be spent on going flying. Like, I'll actually have a lock-in weekday session that I can put in. And because it's an afternoon, because the problem with the morning is, depending on how much cloud and fog and whatnot, most mornings, especially in winter...
Oh, so afternoon is better.
Whereas in the afternoon, everything... Well, at least the sun's shone through. Like, if it was, like, say, 10 o'clock in the morning...
Burnt off some fog.
If it's going to lift, then it's fine. But early... The problem with 10 o'clock is that by the time you go flying, land, and do all the other stuff, it's like way past midday and I wouldn't be able to get to the afternoon. So this afternoon session is the best for me anyway. Like, we had the whole day. It's obviously you can go whenever, but so this works out nicely. And the other part of it has been that, we took over a country hospital, like our department got asked to, well, our entire hospital network got asked to. And so far I've kind of been putting off going there because it's like an hour and a bit away. But one of the benefits of going, it's a bit of an interesting kind of a experience going there because it's not like you're starting in a new place and it's not like this place is brand new. It's been there forever and a day. But we've kind of just come and taken over, and the entire point was to introduce like our standards of care to this place. It's been
smaller,
and it's growing.
Sure. Give them the resources to have all the safety stuff and all that, I imagine.
Yeah, but they already had a way of working.
Oh, so and you guys are just coming in and, like, fucking it up.
Well, exactly, right? So it's kind of like you go there and you're like, oh, this is how it's done. And then no one knows what the right call is. And this is the confusing part. Because there has been a way that's worked there specifically forever and a day, right? And there's also the stuff that we normally do, and it's just little minor things, but you go, well, actually at where I work, not doing it this way is a big major problem because of other crap, right?
Sure.
Whereas over there is like, no one cares. Like, that problem doesn't happen because we don't deal with these patients, right? And it's fine, but there's this gray zone of which bit are you meant to follow?
Yeah.
Right? Because in like, do you go pragmatic? But if you do, you're technically against hospital guidelines.
Yeah, but like, also equally, I'm sure if you implemented the entire hospital guidelines to you would somewhere that it doesn't really apply to, no one would do anything, and you'd end up at a less safe place than the few important rules that had.
No. So at the moment, this was the weirdest experience. So I went on a Thursday, right? And we had, so you have to have an in-charge or a non-call anesthetist there because there's obstetrics. So just in case there's a Caesar, we had a Caesar, I did the Caesar. There was a full stop after that. I did nothing else for 24 hours. Like, that's it. I literally did one case because exactly what you said is happening, which is no one knows which rules to follow. There's been all this change. So a lot of stuff got canceled. No one really knows why. So we did one Caesar, right? So like there was another list on and we did get some other stuff done. And I was just sitting there going, like, it felt wrong because they're like, the nurse was like, look, they have really actually decent accommodation with internet, and everything else just around the corner. And they're like 3 minutes walk, if that, it's just across the road. So they're like, oh, most people just go across the road. I'm like, okay. But I'm in Scrubs. Do we change? And they're like, oh, well, you would have to. I'm like, okay, does that mean I have to? And then I asked the director of the site, and he's like, I occasionally do. And I'm like, what does this mean? There's so much gray area. Like, if I go, I don't want to have to keep
it's kind of like, it sounds like the sort of thing people are like, so should I do this? Look, a butterfly.
yeah, right. Well, this is the reason that I kind of held off on going for so long, because I was like, oh, if I give it like 3 to 6 months, I'm sure it'll sort itself out. I'm like, nope, still great.
Right? Nope, still sad.
Like one of the good things is, though, I have all this, like, because I went on leave, I have all this backed up non-clinical stuff that I have to get through. And I'm doing like one case a day or not much, or if you're on call, you get the next day of non-clinical time, because it is far by the time, and you have to stay out there. So by the time you start heading back into the city, because of the traffic coming in, it sometimes can take a while. So you come home and actually rest up, you're never going to be in time for the afternoon list. But they give you the afternoon as well to just kind of just catch up on stuff. So it does mean that I get extra time to catch up. And it's been like just that one day, I've only been once. I just caught up on so much stuff. And I was like, oh my God, it just like, you know, I could just see movement in my to-do list instead of just treading water. And it was just really nice. So yeah, it's been good. And the other thing has been that because it's been that to catch up on my extracurricular stuff, kind of started catching up with old friends that I haven't seen in a very long time. Like some like live in the same building, others are like just around the corner. And I've seen more of them in the last 2 weeks than I think I have in the last sort of 3 or 4 years.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Anyway. Yeah. Well, a bit more time, which is good. That's the key.
Yeah. All right. We should probably get over our catch-ups and technical issues to what do you want to do next? Random fact or your topic?
Random fact sounds pretty good.
Okay. Well, okay.
On my cleaning topic. So what I've, learned to understand and been taught is essentially salt water never dries. So it's really interesting, you know, like, why? For example. Why?
Did you actually not know this?
I actually didn't know this till now, because, like, for example, in the engine bay, there was, like, a little leak, and just from a fitting that wasn't right. This was a while ago. And you can see the little water droplets there from it. And it's been like that for, like, a month. And just do not move. Same thing, once I had I hadn't washed my feet, came in, and there was just, like, one footprint. That's just there for like 3 days.
So if you go to a humid environment and you just have salt flakes, right? And you leave the salt flakes out, it'll attract the water because of the ionization of the salt particles. I can't remember the exact way it works, but it is one way. Like, I just remember it was a science experiment when I was a kid. I just remember doing it. And I'm like, huh, water. And
well, it's like, the thing is, this isn't even a particularly humid kind of place. Well, actually, my latest thing is I've been... one of my slight tangent, interesting, I've been wiring up the boat to get analytics and data to the maximum. And I have a device that has basically air pressure, humidity, and temperature combined. So it's like, oh, I can see the humidity outside drops down to a relative of like 34% in the afternoon. And then in the morning, it really cranks up to like 70% or so. So here it doesn't get up to like, you know, 95% humidity. But yeah, it's kind of interesting to see this stuff.
Yeah, but remember, you're also just off the surface of the ocean, right? Like, regardless, like, you're just going to have way higher humidity. Well, even if it's not absolute humidity, you just have air, like, you have water evaporation all around you. So you're going to get that effect. Scientific explanation.
Something about basically the salt crystals will hang on to the water. So it's not dry up. It's really interesting. Like if I, for example, I was just washing the boat and everything and I had a little bit of wet feet and just right now, water's all evaporated, gone within like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, done.
Yeah.
But yeah, when the footprint, I remember that was there for like 2 days or 3 days, like until I had to like mop the floor to clean it. I was like, nope, from now on, wash the feet before you come onto the boat. After you get off the dinghy, no sand, no salt, anti-salt boat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I just remember it from that one science experiment, which goes to show how long, that was primary school, man. So that
experiment's
great. I don't remember that fact.
Yeah.
So my random fact, which is kind of related to you and your cleaning, is what do you think is the, how often you need to change bed sheets? I had to look
this up. God. I don't know. It depends. So this has become a thing for me to consider now as well, because before it was, you know, doesn't really matter. It's just whenever the cleaner changes it.
Right. So because the one
I can't do it every week. Like that's a lot of washing.
But that is the recommended thing. It's meant to be.
Who recommends this?
I don't know. Probably washing machine manufacturers or like.
It sounds people. Like big washing machine. Because then there's the other things as well. Because like I was like, oh, now especially like I've been very militant about having my shower in the evening. And then do not go out like in the dinghy or, you know, basically like in the dinghy is like your little boat attached to your boat. So if you go pick up somebody, then you'll be covered in salt when you come back in. So I've tried not to get into the bed salty because again, like if you get the bed salty, it'll just stay wet forever.
Yeah.
So but I was like, so if I'm having a regular shower before, does that work?
Yeah, that would work. But the thing is, it's like, so the entire reason the recommendation is there is because like, you know, the other random fact that I was going to put in there is the fact that, you know, in dust and whatnot around the house, you know, do you know what most of it is?
Isn't it like mites?
No, it's like dead skin cells.
Oh, dead skin cells. Ah, okay. Well, that sounds,
and so
I don't know if that's better or worse, but sure.
Well, that's what the mites feed on. So the reason it's recommended is so that you get rid of the food so that you don't get bed bugs and mites and all the other stuff. Right. So that's why they recommend it. But I'm like, I just don't think it would dry by the time I get like, what are you meant to have multiple sheets? Jeez, that's just crazy talk. At the moment, for whatever reason, like I think you've seen my bed. It's like, it's got, it's an extra deep one for some reason. It's like got an extra layer on top. So it's like a normal mattress, but then it's extra thick. And it's been really hard to find fitted sheets. Like you can obviously get foldy sheets, but I'm like, I'm not.
That's
like,
a lot of work.
It's way too much work. So I got like normal sheets, actually fitted sheets for it. And it's a chore. Like it's a 2-person like wrestle match to get it on.
Oh, really? That's not
good. Like I don't know if I shrunk it accidentally in the dryer or something. Like, you know. But I did get some new ones and they are a bit easier. So I'm like, okay, once a month. So I now have a calendar entry where it reminds me to wash my sheets. But there you go, people. This is your PSA for this episode. It's meant to be every week, allegedly.
I feel like the title of this episode just needs to be like people becoming older and learning that they need to clean their own house.
PSAs on getting old.
Yeah, don't do it. Get a cleaner. Just keep your life simple. I don't know why you don't have a cleaner. I have an excuse.
I do, but they don't do the laundry because it's not so much. It's like if they did the laundry,
no problems,
it'd
be sure.
Like 5 hours. But yeah, mine comes every 2 weeks. But anyway, now you wanted to do a segment, which was on.
Yeah, well, I just thought it'd be a little bit topical and something we could take a dive on. Maybe okay. A little bit too soon, possibly, but the whole submarine thing that's been going on around the Titanic.
You think it's too soon, but have you seen what the internet memes have been?
Oh, no, I haven't seen too many of that. No.
Oh, okay. It's literally Titanic 2 is the title, right?
Yeah.
It has the sub with like James Cameron on one side and the captain guy on the other with an overlay of like the Logitech controller that we're using to control it, right? And it's like, not again. It's like a subtitle from one of them. And then I think James Cameron's is like, haven't we done this one already? Because supposedly he's been saying stuff like, they both sound like the captains were warned and they just did it anyway and they ended up in a shipwreck. So I don't know, not too soon according to the internet.
Yeah, sad story, but it brings up an interesting thing, I suppose, not just about submarines and stuff, but something that we kind of skim around the edges of is innovation versus regulation. I thought that might be an interesting kind of topic. So
what was the innovation on their part? Like,
well, they were trying basically to build their own submarine and, you know, cut corners, if you like, which is not the best thing. But in their eyes, they were like, we're trying out new materials, new ways of doing stuff. Is this a better way of doing it? It's like, I suppose a similar equivalent would be SpaceX. You know, they were like, well, can we take this rocket and make it 10 times cheaper? Because now then we can actually do something utility with it.
By landing it, right? I mean, to be fair.
No, they're doing the same thing. Yes. So they basically, you know, took an existing tech and see if they could make it 10 times cheaper.
Yeah, but their approach to making it 10 times cheaper was not to redesign the rocket. It was to redesign the landing, right?
Like, they redesigned they did a whole bunch of changes to the actual launchers itself as well.
But
so they made a whole bunch of changes. Better.
Yeah.
And stuff with, you know, I'm sure there were people who were like, that's not how you do rockets at the time.
Well, I mean, the number one
before they had, you know, three blow-ups, they're like, well, I told you can't do it that way. Yeah. So it just brings an interesting thing off, like, yes, there should be some regulation, of course. And, you know, maybe this was kind of like a step on the other side of, you know, bit unregulated in a bad way, and you know they're taking paying clients, customers who have no idea of the true implications, blah blah blah.
What do you mean?
But there's an interesting line.
They read everything.
Yeah, you have to click the accept button.
Yeah.
For a quick bit of background, in case somebody hasn't heard of it, to go and see the Titanic, to get down there, it's really deep. It's like 13,000 feet. There's only a few vessels that can go down that deep. So military subs don't go down that deep. For context. There was a company, so that's why they can't just send us up and pick it up. So there's a startup that was basically building submarines, and their target market was to make tourist visits to the Titanic site. And you know, irony of ironies. Yeah, it's called the Titan, and you know, they may have ignored some warnings and they may have ended up in the same place. But you know, at the end of the day, people died, so it's things have happened. And of course, now that something has happened, obviously it's all about, should we have had more regulation? Should we have spoken up? Should we have done more? And to prevent that from happening. And in this case, it, you know, seems like a good idea. Obviously, I'm not a submarine engineer, but it just sort of brings up a bigger topic around
it. It's like a submarine, but just... it's faulty.
Yeah.
Just floating.
Look, if my boat is a submarine, things are not going well.
Well, the interesting thing is, like, with regulation, right? Regulation obviously has boundaries on what it can regulate. And the way they were getting around it is by operating in international waters. So they didn't have to comply with any frameworks. There were frameworks that they were intentionally skirting.
Yeah, I think they just chose not to.
Yeah.
They chose not to certify with any of them.
Yeah, so then it's like, well, do you put on that, like, do you regulate everywhere? Like, do you take out? Because, like, remember, I think we were talking about this ages and ages ago, which was you know how Silicon Valley is innovative at the moment, and it used to be the Italian city-states that were the hub of innovation a long time ago. Yep. Because they had different rules and different little loopholes. So they people could, like, you know, if you're finance, you'd go to this town and you know, you'd have a backer and this is how you do stuff. And then if you were like a technology of the time startup, you'd go somewhere else. Or if you're a poet, just because they had that little, they intentionally had the Swiss cheese so that you could, you were regulated, but there was certain slackness here and there and whatnot. So then it begins the question is like, well, that clearly worked. And obviously safety, like, I don't know how you do both. But if you then start doing global regulations, you'll need someone like Elon Musk to come and accidentally get it right, if you like, you know, because the other part of it is like Tesla wouldn't exist if they didn't actually do exactly that, because the original Teslas, you know how it's all touch-based interfaces, right? So the way they made it actually economically feasible to sell the cars was to not use industry grade, like automotive touchscreens. They actually used iPad ones, but
which are probably far better as well.
The difference in regulation is the fact that the actual the adhesive and the actual chemical that they use is rated to different temperatures. So a car, because it's outside, bakes like an oven, right? So the first batch started to melt, like the actual LCD liquid started pouring out. But they needed to make the first batch so that they could get everything up and running. So kind of paid off, but they were actually faulty.
My guess is that you can probably take those learnings to make different ones afterwards.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like this startup thing. Well, I mean, again, the Tesla one, it just didn't happen to cause any accidents because
but it could have
the car and you couldn't start it, right? Versus all the incidents where it's happened, because, you know, if you could start it, the aircon would kick in, then it would cool down, so you didn't have a mid-journey failure. But the other thing they were doing is
having a touch screen was a bit of a thing, wasn't it? Like, you're supposed to have, you know, as a interface of a car, like things you can click without looking at them. I thought that was a whole thing initially as well.
Well, I think because they sold it as like entertainment pack, it was kind of, they kind of got around that. Right? Like,
driving is entertainment. I guess.
Well, I mean, the very first version, I don't think had any limits. Like, you just turn on everything, even if you're driving.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I mean, to be fair, in Asia, that's what they do. People install like a second screen that's playing a DVD. Like, you've been in Asian taxis, I'm sure, where the guy's literally watching a Netflix show. You're like, oh God, we're going 170 km an hour. I have definitely had that happen in Taiwan. Somehow I'm alive. And the thing is, a sidetrack, right? We were on a Taiwanese highway going at, I have a video of this somewhere, going at like 130 Ks an hour, right? And there's like speed cameras. No one cares, right? The thing that scared me whilst I was filming is that if you pay attention to the background, an Audi R8 takes off like a rocket past us. We're doing 130. And it's doing at least double speed. And I'm like, where the hell am I? And I literally just landed, like, you know, it's 10 o'clock.
On a big island, like where are they going in such a hurry?
I was like, this must be what the German Autobahns feel like, because there is no way that car is not doing 200 Ks an hour, at least, you know? And this is Asia on a small island. And yeah, sure, the highway is highway. But there were a lot of cars on that highway. Anyway, that was my random aside.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, but anyway, where do you sit with the whole regulation, pros and cons?
Yeah. I don't know where I sit specifically, but I think, you can look at it from a few ways. Like, for example, I suppose one big one that comes up a lot nowadays, commonly say AI or self-driving, on the one hand, or even cryptocurrency, if you stick with, regulation that exists, or say cryptocurrency is an easy one. Well, there was no real regulation that covered it. For the longest time in the US, it was covered by the Department of Agriculture for some reason. They were the ones.
Makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Because they're the ones who are most likely to understand it, right?
Crypto, it's like a crypt, which is where you store your grains.
Exactly.
Currency. Yeah, that's it. That's the link.
Totally. Totally. But equally, you know, if there's no oversight at all, you end up with things like FTX, i.e., hey, can I have your money? Thanks, bye. I'm off.
Hey, or the OG, Mt. Gox.
Yeah, exactly, Mt. Gox. The thing is, this is like a tale as old as time. As soon as crypto started up, people have been scamming the whole time. And it will continue.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is, right, like, of all people, Elon Musk has constantly come out in defense of regulation, which I found really interesting. Because he's like, as compared to having no umpires, having an umpire is better. You just kind of have so many umpires that you are equal number to the players. And I was like, that's an interesting point. But yeah, you do, like, even someone who is known to break the rules, like FST, this, that is like constant, endless amount of hysteria of Elon Musk is breaking all the rules. That guy is saying, hey, actually, let's regulate. In fact, the reason he's kind of walked away from the whole ChatGPT and or like OpenAI was his thing of going, no, we were meant to be regulating, but you are now like a private company against like doing stuff that, like, you know, you kind of go, and that's like, you know, what I would say is one extreme case, but he's for regulation.
Yeah, I think everyone has the things I suppose they're more concerned about as well, like AI regulation versus, I don't know, something else regulation.
Yeah, but I think one of the things that
probably closest thing for us is, say, is health tech regulation. So introducing new tech into medicine. It's a slow and long process to do so, but maybe with a good reason.
Yeah, and I think the other part of regulation is that it's always got, like, anyway, in my head anyway, regulation doesn't work, or it's kind of too cumbersome and this, that, and the other. Like, it doesn't, it, like, in my head, it's kind of like this thing where innovation is going to happen, so regulation is either going to be useless or it's so much red tape that it doesn't really work and people find loopholes anyway. But the thing that I have to remind myself that it does work, and regulation is not meant to be a, you know, here's the rule and everyone has to follow it, is enough incentives to curb the bad outcome. And probably the best, so like, you know, the AI or any of those sort of stuff, you can kind of go as a societal level threat and you go, oh God, we haven't done this before, but we have. Like, if you look at atomic weapons, we have actually regulated to the point where the threat of nuclear war, though close and though there's a stockpile, this was meant to have happened like 40, 50 years ago. Like, know, but people kind of were responsible. Like, we do have world-ending technologies and we've had it for a while that they are still running on DOS, you know. like, we've actually, like, it's not perfect, but it's had enough effect that most people, it's not proliferating wildly, and if you start to proliferate it, you basically, like, you know, Iran, North Korea are like shadows of their formal status because they are effectively like permanently sanctioned because of it, right? Like, yeah, sure, you can develop this technology, but to what cost? And it looks like, you know, that's regulation that's done, I would say, considering the complexities of it and the fact that, you know, what does one, how does one country even have a jurisdiction in another? Not bad, you know? So, like, I have to remind myself that it can't actually work. It can't just be a cynical bastard about it.
I think I kind of like the idea of it being there because it's never going to be perfect and there won't be ever a perfect balance. But at least by being there, there is a back and forth.
Yeah. Or at least,
because if you had nothing at all, nobody would think about it at all. Whereas if it's there, if you're the go fast and break things kind of person, well, occasionally you might have to stop and look at this and potentially be forced to listen to other people who are experts in the area and may have some very valid points. But I still
and
think
it was red lines, right? Like,
yeah,
it just
thing. It's kind of like, here's a line. Well, the thing is, I think even red lines, they'll go back and forth over time. But the fact is that it's there. Somebody has drawn a line. So then at least there's a line to start from both sides looking at.
Yeah. I think we're saying the same thing, but just in different ways. It's like saying, you know, the, was it the 4-minute mile or something? It was never going to be humanly possible. Then it was, and then a whole bunch of people have done it. It's kind of like that was a artificial, and like with most things, as long as they're not actual rules of nature / physics, they're bendable. But it's kind of like, at least if a red line is drawn, and you're a startup or you're trying to be innovative, the amount of effort it takes for you to get close to and try to bend it is like, at least you've looked very closely. So it's like, yeah, you're intentionally trying to do it. So you had to put in all this other stuff because you know that you're taking a big gamble. You are asking that if you fail, like, you know, like the startup sub thing, right? They took a gamble. It failed and it was tragic. But you know that regulation is now coming, right?
Yeah.
It's this thing where you're like, you can do the Elon Musk and you can get lucky, which is fly rocket, land, boom, boom. Oh, we got it right. And then the cost saving is so big that the regulators have to go, well, we better take this one back to the drawing board. If he's managed to do it once, if he does it again, okay, this is going to just change the industry, which is what happened, right? But yeah. But the other interesting thing about the whole sub thing, like, did you notice how there's this, there's an independent journalist that has her own Instagram page, Jessica Yellen, right? And she was like, look, the sub, we got to talk about it. It's all over the news, but just also putting it out there. Boat full of like 500 migrants died. CNN is still just talking about the sub. Then, just like yesterday, you know, when like Russia almost went into civil war mode.
Yeah.
Right. So there was this thing where she does this all on Instagram, right? Where it's like, yeah, so Russia's doing this. And then she has this one photo of her TV going, and CNN's gone back to talking about the sub. And I was like, wow, it did get a lot of coverage. Don't get me wrong, it was tragic, but what? It's like that thing that says, like, you know, if one person dies, a tragedy. If it's 500, it's a statistic. It's like you're seeing it play out, people.
Yeah, it's kind of like the 500 people migrant boat that sank. It's probably going to be many, 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 many more 500 people migrant boats that will sink in the next month, as opposed to submarines going to the Titanic.
Yeah, I don't know why it makes me laugh, but it does, even though it's a tragedy. It's just something so... I think it's the hubris of it all, like going, let's just do this thing, which was a tragedy in its own right. You know, like you just kind of go, okay. Yeah. But anyway, should we call this an episode and end on a positive note?
This sounds like a positive note indeed.
Okay. No. I have my one piece of positive note. You can call it creepy, but Singapore and I think now the US have now officially allowed public sales of lab-grown chicken. So it's a cell culture. So basically no animal has to die. And it's got the same texture. I think it's chicken breast at the moment. But yeah, they've cleared it. They've had it for, I want to say 5 years, but I think it's actually longer, like 10. So they've actually done some long-term studies on it to actually say, yep, it's safe. And not only is it, you know, animal cruelty, yada, yada, but also from a greenhouse gases and food production point of view, it's much more sustainable as well, especially as the world consumption of proteins. So that's somewhat borderline creepy. But the picture that they used actually looks like a chicken breast. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know. Would I even know if it was different? Like, if it appears on the shelves here, I'll have to give it a try just to see.
My bet is when these things become cheaper than the real one, that's when they will become the normal.
Oh, like undoubtedly. And from the look of it, apart from the fact that it's currently still lab grown and, you know, it hasn't been scaled properly, the input cost to produce that bit of chicken is lower than if you had to take an animal to maturity just to kill it to get the chicken. So yeah, like it seems like once the scale happens, at least anyway on paper, I'm sure there's 101 other unanticipated little problems that are going to crop up, it should actually get to cost parity, if not, well, I mean, even if it gets to cost parity, right? Like, let's just say, all right, it's not cheaper, cost parity. And then you go, all right, you don't have to have a farm and all the things that come with that and all the, you know, like that in itself, if cost parity, great.
Awesome.
Which begs the question, would you eat chicken then?
Yeah, I think I would, because no animals were harmed in the making of this meat.
Well, I mean, maybe two cells, like, or I don't know how they got the original cell culture.
Fine, like, look, I mean, you know, take a little nibble. She'll be right. I feel like, you know, if somebody jabbed me with a needle, like, I'm not going to hold it against them. So if I jabbed a chicken with a needle, it's too bad. It sucks to be you. You'll be fine. Run free after. Here's some extra pellets.
Okay. Well, did you have any good news to end the episode?
Well, of course not.
Well, on that note, shall we end it with just one piece of good news then?
It sounds like it. We've got to ration the good news. It's not too much.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's always going to be...
Well, actually, I'll tell you one piece of good news. If you're ever in Mallorca, in Palma, at 11 a.m., there is a German bar which gives you free beer at 11, but only for 15 minutes now. It's called Mega Park. It is extremely loud, extremely annoying, with a lot of German. It looks like a German invasion of Spain.
Meow.
So there you go. Free.
German bar, that's free beer. There you go. Some loud sound effects to
I'm end. Not sure it's as world-changing as your lab-grown chicken, but it's some good news.
What? But it's air. It's got an air horn.
This is true.
Okay.
And on that note, okay.
That's it for our catch-up episode for this time. Next time, we will actually have a topic. It's just it has just been a challenge trying to coordinate with the ship movements and whatnot, which is also why we've actually got a few guests that we are going to have on. We just got to get our routines sorted with this new boat life version of things. Like and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice, especially if you're on Apple. Could you leave us a review? It seems to help a lot. People have actually started to come from else places. I think we're past the 50 subs, even though we haven't really been regularly releasing episodes for the past little while.
It's still taking a long time.
And so, yeah, thanks for everyone for listening. And if you actually have any suggestions for small episodes that we could do, let us know, because we're probably going to have to do a little batch recording just so that we can keep things regular whilst we try and figure out the schedule. But for now, bye-byes.
Bye.